So last week we talked about enduring, and I feel like that was a word for a church, and I feel like this word, every week I feel like this is the word for our church, but I really see just the season that we're in, that this is for us. And I think of the new year, and obviously a new year comes with New Year's resolutions, and everyone's so geared up on New Year's resolutions, you know? And I was thinking, why is that? You know, like, why is there such a desire to have a new start? You know, I'm not even talking about Christians. I'm talking about everyone has this desire for a new beginning, and so much attention on New Year's resolutions, and how do you do it? And how do you do it in a way that it's not going to just last 3 weeks, you know, like, that you can actually change something. And as I was thinking, what I realized was, as humans, I think part of the human condition is this real sense that we need a restart. That if it just kept on going the way it was, that we would die. that we couldn't make it if life just kept going on. There's this, I think, innate sense in us that says, like, we need a restart. And I believe that that's part of the gospel seed that's been placed in all humanity that cries out for the only one who can fill that need, the only one who can make a new start. And I even think of how physically our bodies every day ask us for a new start. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of comical when you think of it, how tough people act sometimes. Yeah, at the end of every night, they go to bed. You know, they completely pass out, have no awareness to their surroundings, and it's as if they're dead, you know, to wake up and have a new start. And I've thought before of what would it be like to have a day, not when everything's made new in heaven, but to have a day on this earth that lasted forever. Can you imagine what hell that would be? Do you know what I mean? Like, where there's no recovering, there's no restart. It just lasted on and on and on and on. And no matter how good that day was, it would get to the point where it'd be awfully bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, even in, like, Disneyland, how beautiful it is. But can you imagine being in Disneyland forever? Like, how terrible that would be. You know, like, your body cries out for a reset every day. Every day. Every day. This needs to end so that I can have a restart. So I think our body does that. And even as bodies age, there's this sense that, spiritually we feel as well, I can't wait till this is made new. You know, like, this needs to be done with. This is dying. This is deteriorating. This needs a new start. And I think of, so physically we see that with sleep, with age, and even emotionally, how emotionally, like, can you imagine if there was no end to the day? And the burdens and the stress you feel today, there's no opportunity for it to reset, to go to bed and to wake up and have a new beginning. You know, like, this is part of how God wired us. Like, we are made to deteriorate. Like, our bodies deteriorate. Our minds deteriorate. We diminish. We don't increase. We decrease. And that's just part of the human condition. And I believe that in us, you know, like, they talk about this God-sized hole that only God can fill. There's this part of human beings that knows that we need a restart. We know that we need it. And I think that's just part of an understanding that people have, but only God can fill. So that's why this is good news. This is gospel good news that God makes all things new. God makes all things new. And I honestly, I just have a bunch of scripture I'm going to breeze through and just connect dots here and there. And the scripture is good. It's going to speak for itself mainly. Do we have it on the screen? I don't think we do. Oh, really? Watch out. Well, read along in your Bible or up on the screen. But I want to make a case that God makes all things new. And in Isaiah 43, I'm going to start here. The people of God were in this difficult place, this discouraging place. this place of defeat. They were in captivity, and they felt stuck, very much stuck where they were. And this was the word of God that came to Isaiah. Isaiah 43:18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. So praise God for what he's done in the past, but let's not stay there. And the word says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isn't that so good? That's good news. The people are in this place where it's like they couldn't see any hope, any future. And God's like, you know, let's forget what has happened. Let's even forget what has gotten you here. God is committed to making all things new. I'm going to give you a new start. And in fact, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. And I'm going to make a way even in a place that's a desert, and even in a place where there's lack and nothing there. I'm going to actually bring streams there. I'm going to make all things new. Isn't that good news? He's going to make a way. And you know what? He did deliver them out of captivity. He did do a new thing. And it was awesome. And it was glorious. And it was impossible. But God is always doing new things. He's not a repeat God. He's a God who is always making things new. So we see that in the Old Testament. And even in the Old Testament, the prophets began speaking about this new thing that God was going to do. As they talked about this new covenant, this new agreement between God and Jesus Christ, that there was going to be a new work that God was going to do. And it wasn't going to be trying to be better and trying to do the right thing. In Ezekiel, it's 36:26, the prophecy was this, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit, and I will put this within you, and will remove the heart of stone of flesh and give you I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Isn't that a beautiful promise? So even back there, God keeps saying, like, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing. That heart of stone that is resistant to me, that is hard towards me, I'm not going to make it better. I'm not going to add to it. I'm actually going to get rid of that thing. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a brand new spirit. And in Jeremiah, it talks about this as well, this new thing that God was going to do. And obviously, we know that Jesus came and he fulfilled that. And he was the one that through faith in Christ, that he would make us new, not just better, but new. And I've heard this said, like Jesus didn't come to improve us. You know, like, we are beyond improvement. Like, me by myself can't improve. Like, I am stuck. And my only hope is that this ends and I get new life. That's the only hope I have, and that is the gospel. The gospel in Galatians says, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Like my flesh isn't getting better. My only hope is that I'm actually crucified with Christ. I'm dead and buried with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. It's this reset. I need a reset, which means that this has to be done with. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. There's this cry that Jesus answers by giving us a reset. I think of 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. And it says, the old is gone. But the new has come. Isn't that a powerful verse? If you are in Christ, if you have in faith received his payment for your sin, you are no longer what you were. You have been made a new creation. And again, this is the icing on top. He's going to help your life get a lot better because you're a mess and we're going to make it better. No. He's going to make you brand new. So, beloved, you need to remember that you are a new creation. You are living out the gospel message. Like, that has been changed in you. In Christ, you have been made new. You are a new creation. And that's why even John 3, do you remember? Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and was talking about the kingdom of God. And Jesus says to him that you had to be born again. You have to be born again. What is that speaking of? You need a new life. This life needs to die, and you need a new beginning. God needs to make you new. That's what it's talking about. Born again, new life. You must be born again. So again and again, we see in the scripture that the old is gone, the new has come. He's making it new, he's making it new, he's making it new. And we see how Jesus fulfilled that. Romans 6:4, it says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. And baptism is actually, it's not just talking about the water act that we do. Baptism is actually kind of like being immersed in, you know, like that's why we do it in the water. It's immersed where you actually identify with it. Like, you become what it is. That's why baptism is such a powerful image. Like, it's talking about being immersed in the death of Christ so that we would also be immersed in the life of Christ. So Romans 6:4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Is that good? That you would walk in a newness of life. And beloved, this is the narrow road. This new life, this newness of life that God has given us. What a challenge to walk in it. See, here's the truth. We can have this true about us positionally, but not walk in it. Do you know what I mean? It can be true in the heavenlies, but not experienced here because we wrestle with it and we choose not to live it. We choose not to identify what is true. We choose to identify with a lie because of this struggle with sin that we have. You know, Romans 7 talks about this doing what I don't want to do, not doing what I want to do, and this wrestling. And who can rescue me? Thanks be to God, only through Christ Jesus, my Lord. You know? So that's why verses like Ephesians 2:24 says this, to put off your old self, this choice of putting off this old self that's dead positionally, but to make this choice experientially in our lives, to put off our old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, and it is corrupt through deceitful desires. Amen. Amen. It is corrupt. So to put that off, in verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renew, restart in your mind. See it differently. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Is that beautiful? So we can be righteous in the eyes of God, but still wear our old self. Still wear that deceitful, corrupt, fleshy part of us that is deceitful and corrupt. So, beloved, we need a new start. We need a new start to put off that old stuff and put on the new self, to be renewed in our minds. See, this is in our minds. It's not actual things. This is a shift. This is something we choose to do in our minds. It's a battle over our minds to put on the new self. Colossians 3 says this, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the new self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. again and again, there's this restart that's necessary. This isn't an event that happens one time. This is something that happens often. And beloved, as you get dressed in the morning, to put off your old self and to put on your new self, that you might walk in newness of life, that you would put on the new self that is created in the likeness of God, in righteousness and holiness. See, beloved, the opportunity that we have in Christ is a new start every day. Every day. Every day we get a new start. Every day, every moment, we get this opportunity to flush what is old and put on what is new and what is ours in Christ. This isn't special. This is just ours. It's beautiful, and it's yours, and it's mine in Christ. You know, this is also so beautifully seen in forgiveness. You know, when we do wrong things to our children, to our spouses, to our friends, to our neighbors, whatever it is, to the people we're driving down the road in, you know, like where that old self flares up and, oh gosh, the other day I was driving. Oh, man. But to confess it before the Lord and to put off that old self, that self that flared up, that made us say something or think something or do something, and to actually confess it and to be forgiven. To be forgiven. And do you know what forgiveness is? A new start, right? Before God, it's just this, like, I'm not going to hold that against you anymore. As far as the East is from, like, this is removed from you. And there's this freedom from it. That's old. You've been released from it, and you get a new start. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. You get a new start. Every stupid thing you do, you get a new start. Do you see how amazing that is? You know, like, oh, God, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I'm going to pick on my girls here for a little bit. But every once in a while in our family, not very often, I think it only happened once, that there was bickering and arguing, and we're all tense, including mommy and daddy. More daddy. Okay, we are all tense. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where the whole room is amped up and just talking about, okay, everyone, we need a restart here. What's done is done. I'm sorry. You're forgiven. We need a new start. We need a new start. And you know what happens when you truly walk in forgiveness? The old is gone. Right? And the new has come. This new self that is formed in the likeness of Christ and is righteous and holy. Amen. He makes all things new. You know, I think of how God's always doing new things and how every day we get this. And how in Christ he has made us new and given that opportunity and even in forgiveness, this restart. But one day, one day, one day, one day, it will all be new, right? And that's what we long for. And, you know, as I was studying this, I was reading about this. I don't know if he was a minister or what, but he thought he was going to die. And he was just had the sickness. So what he did was he just meditated on heaven. Like, that's all he did, was focused all his attention on heaven, because he was realizing, it's like, I'm going to be here soon. So I need to be ready. So he just meditated on, focused on heaven. And that day when this life is done, this life is over, and he would just be with God. So he is focusing, worshiping God, being in that place. And you know what? He got better. But what he realized was this. That totally changed my perspective. And it was powerful to actually fix my eyes on that day when everything would be made right. And beloved, this is the hope that we have in Christ, is that everything will be made new, and every wrong will be made right. Amen. I can't even tell you how hopeful that is sometimes when you are treated unfairly, when wrongs are done, that one day everything will be made right. And in Revelation 21, John, the Apostle John, given this revelation, says this. He said at that time, as he gets a glimpse, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne, which is Jesus Christ, behold, I am making all things new. Behold, I am making all things new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Amen. He's making all things new. He's making all things new. He's making all things new. But there will be a day where it will be all new. It will be completely perfected. Forever and ever and ever going forward. There'll be no need for restarts at that time because it will be made right forever. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more sin, no more anger, no more faults, nothing, nothing, nothing. No more disappointment. Behold, I'm making all things new. This is trustworthy and true. So, beloved, we see how God gives us new starts. In Christ, he gives us new starts. You know, in forgiveness, he gives us new starts. You know, we always get this opportunity to put off the old and put on what's new. He gives us new beginnings. He gives us new beginnings. He gives us new beginnings. And one day it will all be made new. One day it will be completely done. But my big question is, like, what about today? What about today? What about today? What about today? And I think about me, and I think about us, and I think about our state, and I think about our country, and I think about this world, and I'm like, what about today? God, we need a restart today. We need a restart today. Beloved, I'm speaking to me, I'm speaking to us as a church, and I sincerely mean this, and this is what I'm praying, that as a church, we get a reset. I'm asking the Lord for a reset. You know, there's this when you carry something for so long, like we're never meant to carry it forever. Every once in a while, we need a reset. That's why in Revelation 3, when it talks about the church in Ephesus, they were doing. And the Lord gave them an opportunity for a reset. They said, you forgot your first love. Return to what you did before. You know, this opportunity for a reset. And I'm asking the Lord for the reset. But this is the hope we have. And Nadia, you might recognize this, okay? This is Lamentations 3, 17 through 23. It says this, my soul is bereft of peace, and I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Have you ever been there before? This place where there's no peace, no happiness, that's a faint memory. and endurance, this fight that you had, has just gotten old, has gotten hard, and there's no will to endure, and the hope from the Lord has flickered. But verse 19, remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. But verse 20 says this, my soul continually remembers it, it is bowed down within me, but this I call to mind. This choice, this decision to rest in truth. What does God say? What does God say? Not what do I feel, but what does God say? This I call to mind, and because this is true, it's not just right thinking, because this is true, therefore I have hope. And then he declares this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The love of God that never ends, the mercies that are always there, the mercies that never run dry. And it says they're new every morning. Not dependent on you. The mercies of God are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. So we're going to close with one worship song that just speaks this. But I'm thankful that God gives new starts, that he gives new beginnings, that his love endures forever, that his faithfulness continues through all generations. And beloved, I'm reminding you of what is true. Remember what is true. You know, on the phone app, if you go on your maps, if you press your location, it shows this little dot. And it gives this little purview. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's this little direction of like what direction you're facing. And it only goes this far. You know? That's your perspective. That's all you see with your eyes. But God sees the whole thing. God sees the truth. That he pans back and he sees the whole city. And he pans back and he sees the whole world. And he pans back and he sees the whole universe. We can't see it. That's why we're so easily lied to. So easy to get our perspective jaded and wrong. So, beloved, do you need a new start? Do you need a new start? Do you need a new start? I need a new start. We need a new start. Do you? Spend a moment with Almighty God and ask him for it. This is a good prayer. God, I need a new start. Put off this old stuff. I need a new start. And you know what? Like, it's not because you bring anything. It's not because you're going to will it to happen this time. It's just because of his mercy. Amen. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Thank you, Jesus, for new beginnings. Thank you that you can give us a new start. Multiple times, even throughout a day sometimes. Amen. Beloved, this is what I'm praying for you this year. This is why I'm praying for us. For a new start. New beginnings. Amen. Let's stand and sing this together.